MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Chatting now with Casey Sprake, economist at Anchor, the latest coffee table economics, although it isn't ad hoc, but it arrived yesterday. A couple of chunky bits in it. Casey, appreciate the early morning time. The first is the shutdown in the US. And I mean, you know, I've seen lots of reports that it does hurt the economy a little bit. But the bigger issue, of course, is it's shattering, for example, Bureau of Labor Statistics. You know, we didn't get labor data last week. We're unlikely to get it this week. We've got CPI coming. It is, you know, the FOMC says they're data dependent. If they're not getting data, how much of a challenge is it for them?
Good morning, Simon. And yeah, that's precisely it, I would say. I mean, on one hand, obviously, we can try and infer the economic imbalances coming out of the US. But for us, especially here as market participants, the difficulty at the moment is that lack of data that's coming out of the US. You know, besides inflation data, It's the labor data at the moment that's very much a key indicator for us. And with so much focus having been on the Fed for the last couple of months, and rightly so, it's very difficult to get direction, as you stated, from an agency that is very data dependent. And it's that sort of uncertainty at the moment that I think is the real crux at issue.
You mentioned inflation then, and the FOMC minutes came out last night. I haven't read the minutes. I read the article about the minutes. But the one key point out of Bloomberg was majority of participants emphasized upside risks to their outlook for inflation. And I got to say, that is perhaps the crux of it, because there's a sense of, you know, ever since Jackson Hole, the focus has shifted to the unemployment side. But inflation hasn't gone away. And that is the contradictory, the toughness of that dual mandate the Fed has.
No, precisely that. And they're sort of working almost in contrast to each other. My worry at the moment is that the market has spent a little bit too much time focusing on the labor data and forgetting, you know, at a very high level, end of the day, the Fed's targeting a 2% inflation rate. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. economy is far from that and not showing any signs of it actually coming down. Of course, you know, we haven't seen a sort of heavy impact from tariffs just of yet. But that kind of issue takes a while to filter through to an economy. It's not instantaneous. It takes months. And if we start seeing signs of that beginning to trickle down, that is sort of raising the level of concern at the moment. And I haven't had the chance to go through the Fed minutes myself in detail of yet. But I do believe that the market might start growing to pay a bit more attention to the inflation again. And as you mentioned, you know, the dual mandate is difficult and sitting almost in contrast to each other. If the Fed wants to cut rates to try and boost, you know, a cooling labor market, but inflation is too high, that they sort of hamstrung on that side. It's a very, very difficult balance to walk at the moment, particularly in the Fed's case, where they're obviously getting increasing levels of political pressure as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I had somehow managed to forget about that part. Staying with inflation, but moving on a bit, the inflation of the last couple of years, and a great line you had in the piece, the price shock of the past few years has not gone away. It has merely stopped getting worse. You call it cumulative inflation, which is, yeah, so, I mean, you know, in the US, maybe inflation's 2.9, in South Africa, it's 3.5. That all feels nice, but that's over the last year. If we look over the last 5 years, we've seen some real inflation numbers coming through. UK, 24%, Germany, 22%, US, 23%. These are price shocks for economies that are simply not used to that level of inflation over a period.
Yes, and I actually wrote that piece back. I'm coming off the back of a recent roadshow I did, where I was engaging with a lot of clients and individual advisors. And I kept getting the same question the whole time around inflation. You know, it's all good and well that we quote this headline rate coming down at these levels. But on the ground, people aren't feeling that. You know, when they go to pay their grocery bill, they're just seeing the prices going higher and higher. And it's something I think, even as economists, we run the risk of forgetting. And that's why looking at cumulative inflation is so important. So, you know, cumulative inflation would rather refer to the total increase in prices over a multi-year period rather than the pace of change in a single year, right? So that essentially captures how much purchasing power of money has eroded in a specific point of time. And the numbers I was quoting in the latest edition of COVID is coming off of 2020 as a base, obviously understanding, you know, what happened to inflation from there. And as you mentioned, you know, certain areas, even in developing markets versus emerging markets, are really seeing high prices. I mean, if you look at the UK, prices have risen about 24% cumulatively since 2020, softer than what you see in Eastern Europe, but still, but way above the historical norms. Germany's looking at 22%, the US 23%. And then, of course, you get the rather crazier market outliers like Argentina if you move to the emerging market space. I mean, that's soared by, I think it's like, what, 2,164%? Yeah. I mean, it's a crazy number. But to put into context, South Africa's looking at about a cumulative increase of 28%, which is also very steep.
And that tells us, and I appreciate it, all things equal, your salary has gone up by some amount, hopefully by that number, quite possibly not. It brings it back to a consumer who, I don't know, just remains under pressure. And I've been saying all of this year that our local consumer is better off than they were a year ago. Make no mistake about that. But it doesn't mean they're out of the woods. It is still tough out there. Yeah, our prime rate is still double digit. And we have got that cumulative inflation, which has really put pressure on household budgets over the last many years.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, again, and you know, consumers, it erodes what is your real purchasing power and your living standards at the end of the day. Even if, as you mentioned, wages do eventually catch up. And I think for South African households specifically, we're continuing to face price fatigue at the end of the day. Yeah. You know, everyday goods cost more, permanently more, always feels like it's going up. That squeezes your discretionary spending and your confidence, and it just has a sort of knock-on effects around an economy that is very sort of low on sentiment in general.
A point of the article was our local manufacturing sector. We had PMI data out, it doesn't say early in the week, I think it was last week, and it was up above 50, which is the good number. You dug into it and you say, and again, I quote you back to yourself, PMI's September's PMI paints a nuanced picture. And I'm going to take that as glass half full and say nuanced, but it wasn't all bad. And we've had a lot of PMI that's been all bad. Maybe moving in the right direction, or am I being too optimistic here?
No, I think you're on the right track. I mean, the latest reading suggests that manufacturing activity in South Africa has started to regain some traction, I think, as we head into the year end. Mm-hmm. But again, as you mentioned, it's nuanced. There is, that recovery remains very uneven and fragile. You know, we've seen a good improvement in business activity, which I think was particularly striking within that sort of reading. But again, it's important to remember that global demand, you know, by contrast, remains under quite a bit of pressure amid also, of course, you know, all the ongoing US tariff measures and just a generally challenging trade environment. And that will continue to weigh on sort of South Africa's export competitiveness. And I think, again, that rebound in business activity and new orders points to some resilience in our economy. And I think that could support a bit of a modest pickup into sort of the third quarter GDP growth figures. But again, you know, it's important to remember we still have persistent weakness in employment. You couple that with rising input costs and sort of waning confidence. And it highlights just how delicate that recovery within South Africa's economy remains. So yes, it is positive, and we always like to focus on the positives, but you just need to put it into context as well within the broader weakness.
It wasn't all roses. There certainly were points there which I suppose were the thorns. But let's leave it there. Casey Sprake, economist anchor, always appreciate the insights. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.